When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
1, 2, 3, 3,
and podcast.
Podcast, yes. Hey, welcome to this podcast, Double Threat.
I'm Julie Klausner in New York City.
And I'm Tom Sharpling, and I'm in Los Angeles.
And together we are going to...
Ruin your lives.
We're here to ruin your lives.
No, we're going to make each other laugh.
And boss people around.
Yeah. And this is Double Threat. And how are you, Julie?
I'm doing okay. Have you lost your mind this week for more than... Let me rephrase that.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing?
Oh, well, I am getting to that point where I'm finding the garbage, the hidden garbage on the Criterion channel, where that's like...
Oh, okay.
That seems to be my current goal, where I'm just like, ooh, thank God it's Friday is on... the Criterion channel, like I have been given this resource that is nothing but the best movies, but they hid 6 terrible movies amongst the 4,000 classics. And I'm like, let me poke around, see if I could find some trash on
this
thing.
So you're doing an Easter egg hunt and you're looking for the rotten eggs.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you'd be on Netflix and you'd be just like, everything on here sucks. Mm-hmm. Where's something good? It's the opposite of that.
So what have you watched?
Well, I started to watch these French movies because I'm like, I got to get smart, right? And I got to come out of this thing smart. And that's not going particularly well. I think I've hit a ceiling on my intelligence. So then I shifted over.
You have to pay attention when you're watching movies with subtitles. You can't play Animal Crossing, right?
No, I don't have Animal Crossing. Everybody else has Animal Crossing.
Me neither.
Anybody wonder if, what if Joe Exotic got his hands on Animal Crossing?
Anyone here play Animal Crossing? Yeah.
I was wondering, anybody here see a Tiger King? Did you see this thing?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy Joe Exotic,
you know, couldn't help but think, you know, what if...
Joe Exotic
was on Animal Crossing.
I think it would go something like...
a little something. And then all of a sudden he's shot by one of the wait staff. Who's like, you've been cheating on me, you son of a bitch. The other waitress kills the woman who killed him.
And then it's just a blood bath. They're all dead.
Our new show on Quibi called Comedy Store Bloodbath.
Comedy Store Bloodbath, and at every episode is, because it's 10 minutes you can do on a Quibi thing.
Yeah, and in our case, when you see the time code, it says a tight 10.
Yeah, and then people are just saying like, man, they better get to the killing on this thing. They're nine minutes and 20 seconds in on this Quibi show.
Right, it's like half hour comedy hour, but like there will be everyone on camera will die.
It's a guaranteed death.
And not peacefully.
No, violently. And then it'll come up, then the little Quibi guy will pop up on the screen. I'm Quibi.
Oh, Mr. Quibbies?
Yeah. Thanks for watching. We're Quibi. We're might as well face it. I'm addicted to Quibi.
They that was great. That was a really Weird Al somewhere shaking in his Hawaiian boots.
I'm coming for you, Weird Al. Might as well face it. I'm addicted to Quibi. Weird Al sends over a hit squad to take me out. Now, Julie, we're both doing this show, and we're both doing it every week. And
but times are strange. I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, we need to be prepared if one of us croaks.
That's one way of putting it. I was going to be more vague and say if disaster strikes, but sure.
Croaks.
No, I'm putting my cards on the table right now.
I appreciate the honesty.
Coin flip. It's a coin flip at this point.
I've had this conversation with you. Sometimes you just have to be really straightforward where you're like, you'll take care of the cat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm in this position now where I have this book I'm working on. I'm just like, I got to finish this thing before I die.
Yeah.
Let me get enough that they can still print it and it not be like some thin tome. Worst thing if my ghost
the pamphlet.
Went to the bookstore and saw this like one of those like vanity looking books with big
padded out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like, no.
Well, have you ever done this? Like spent time that you should have been spending writing by writing your will and saying, if I die, I want these people to finish my book. And then listing like really good writers that you kind of know.
And get them. Well, I didn't do that, but I guess what I'm going to do now that you gave me the idea.
It's a pretty good way to procrastinate. You're like, if in case I expire, make sure Charlie Kaufman finishes these journals.
And yeah, he's got to take on the mantle.
No, anyway, I've never met him.
He's writing the same note for someone else to finish his thing.
It's like if George Saunders is like, leave me alone. I can barely do my own work.
Yes. And what we're going to do, because Double Threat must continue on, and if we do this right, if both of us croaked, Forever Dog, Brett could just be running two soundboards and keep it going. And when I say soundboard, that's what we're going to do.
We're gonna create some sort of autopilot artificial intelligence that can replicate our, personalities going forward. And by the way, if we do both die at the same time, it's definitely Brett. Because what you just said really just sets him up to be not only the suspect, but just the only possible person to benefit.
Yes, exactly. If Columbo showed up, he would be hanging around Brett right now.
If Robin Columbo showed up, she'd be hanging around Brett.
Yeah, any of the Columbos. What if, why does she not have, why is she not playing Columbo on some sort of Zoom-based detective show?
Just one more thing.
Yeah.
I'm not very bright.
Who's that in the red poking around? She better not figure out I murdered my business partner.
And she goes, aha! And you see the ash, like the ash like falls before she even comes by. You just see it's log ash.
And she falls. She always falls.
On the grave with those shoes.
Yeah.
She's perfect.
Robin Columbo from Macmillions. We should get her on this.
Yeah, that'd be great. Her son is in touch with me on Instagram.
Okay.
On a regular basis.
You're in the
club. He watched Difficult People, by the way. He told me he liked it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think he's lying. Yeah, I watched your show.
I watched your show. You know that.
Oh, really?
For some people, that means I went to YouTube and I saw clips listed of it.
There's not. Yeah, I Googled you. That's basically.
Yeah. So what we're going to do now is record soundboard clips so if we're not here for whatever reason, whether it's illness or disinterest
or murder suicide,
the show can go on.
Okay. So should we start with a couple of like interview reactions? Like if we have a guest on? Maybe that's just great. Like, should we do a couple like generic intros?
Yeah. Why don't you give me six reactions right now, Julie.
Of like who's going to be on the show or like them, they're already talking mid-interview.
You're just mid-interview how okay. you, so these can be threaded through an interview.
Okay, got it. All right. No. Oh my God. What? God damn it. Oh, I hate that guy. How many was that?
I think that was six.
All right.
That was great.
Your turn.
Right. Okay.
Tom, I'm going to stop you right now. That's, yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to challenge you to be a little bit more sincere in your fake okay. laugh.
How's that?
That sounded like a ventriloquist dummy.
Okay.
That was great.
Now tell me more about that thing. Come on. Oh my goodness. You're the best. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, I didn't do any like conclusions. Can I have a couple of those?
Yeah. Give me three conclusions.
Well, that was great. Oh, no. Wait, that wasn't really a conclusion unless the guest, like, puts a gun in her mouth. And even if that happened, then I'd be like, oh, no. How about this? Well, thank you so much. I love you. Well, thank you so much. I hate you. Well, that happened. How's that?
That was great. Now, give me, if you wouldn't mind, some like you're just having fun in an interview. Like,
okay. Hold on. I'm having fun in an interview. Okay. Yeah. So, what do I usually talk about during an interview? I interrupt a lot. I know that.
Well, then interrupt. Give me okay. three interruptions.
Okay. Okay. That reminds me of the time that I was, seven and I was in a play. Oh, like this one time I saw, oh gosh, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. How was that?
That was great.
All right.
Now I'll do a couple real quick.
Okay.
Now how that relates to me is very interesting. And I remember when I had a similar thing happen as well. You're the best guest we ever had. Thanks You're for the coming best. On the Let, show.
Did you just do like three in a row of those?
Yeah.
You're the best guest we've ever had.
We've ever had.
You are the best guest we've ever had.
You're the best guest.
You're the best guest we've ever had. Okay,
we're done.
Actually, can I make one request?
Yeah, please.
Can I get that moment when like somebody requests to cut something out, but it's kind of like a joke, and you're like, no, we're keeping that in.
Yeah, good. You mean as the two of us, or
maybe you can each do both sides of that.
Yeah, okay.
Solo.
Well, maybe, I don't know, Tom, maybe we should do some overlapping ones.
We'll do one solo each and then we'll overlap on that.
So Brett, could you just give us a cue, like act like you're the guest that wants us to cut something out?
Sure. Yeah. You know what? I don't think I can say that. Can you cut that out?
No, it's great. You sound really funny.
No, keep that in. Come on. It makes you look cool.
Then we'll just do one together.
No,
fuck you. I'm in charge.
Are there other things you need from us, Brett?
Yeah, could I get a few like holiday themed ones? Like like intros that would be seasonal.
Okay. Well, it's Halloween and that you know what that means.
Oh, it's Halloween and I'm Dracula. Welcome to my favorite holiday. The witching hour is nigh, and soon I will be drinking blood.
How is that an intro? 25 minutes. Well, welcome back. It's a special Arbor Day version of Double Threat.
Today, I would like to honor America, because it is the 4th of July.
It's National Chocolate Chip Pancakes Day, assholes.
Who here likes turkey? Well, guess what? you're in luck because it's Thanksgiving. You cut me a piece of dark meat. I don't eat turkey. I don't know. Is dark meat good? Dark meat's the trash no one wants.
I thought you said dork meat, like it was the Nerdist. Oh, should we just do a quick like just some Nerdist promos?
Yeah, in the tragic turn of events that you go to another network, maybe you could do like another.
Oh yeah,
like,
okay.
Couple,
okay.
Like, this is brought to you by other networks.
Right. Okay. Good. So like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're listening to Nerdist. Jews will not replace us.
Hi, it's Tom. Welcome back to Maximum Fun, our new home for Double Threat. And we are, I guess we're still doing the show.
Double Threat is brought to you by Maximum Fun. Maximum Fun, minimum wage. Our employees are unhappy.
Hey, thanks for listening to Double Threat on The Blaze. Glenn, you are
cool and great.
You're so cool. I love your weird flat top. Yeah. Your hair is long and a flat top at the same time.
Mr. Jones and me. You're listening to the Alec Jones Network, brought to you by toothpaste that makes AIDS go away.
Anything else you need for this, Brett?
No, I think that was pretty comprehensive. I think that about does it.
Okay. So the show will go on forever now.
That's right. Ad nauseum.
Because of that. Yeah. Yes. Ad nauseum. Thank you.
So, since last week, we have been inundated. We have been inundated with furious letters from people saying, "I can't believe you don't know who Fred Stropple is. He's my favorite man." And then it's from an email called thisisnotfredstropple@yahoo.org.
Yes, it's the weird. I got one that said, "Lay off Stropple," and it was from stropple.gov.
And it was a picture of your car, right?
It was a picture of my car, and I'm very scared now.
And there was a rock, like, on the hood of the car. Like, it wasn't that big of a rock, though. You sent it to me. I was like, this is, like, not that big of a rock.
No, it was not that threatening. But Fred Stropple was, we talked last episode about this podcast that
short film. Let's be sure. Come on, it's cinema. Let's be fair to the
short film that was starred Anson Williams, Potsy, and
Ralph
Donald Most, who's Ralph Mouth, and that we kind of were given it the business, and lo and behold, the guy who wrote that. People knew who he was.
Oh, boy, did they ever.
And, Brett, do you have a clarity on who Fred Stropple? Because, look, we were saying the thing. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
It was just a name we were going to town with.
And now we know better.
Yes. Yeah, so Fred Stropple, who goes by Frederick Stropple professionally, has a website, frederickstropple.com, where you can find out all the stuff that he's working on.
Oh, could you share the screen with us?
Oh, yeah, so sure. Yeah, I'll do that right now.
Enjoy the magic of Stropple vision together as a...
All right, so this is Frederick Stropple's website, frederickstropple.com.
Okay.
He's got a lot of news and updates here. Plays and musicals that he's working on. He actually collaborated on a musical with Art Garfunkel called The Girl in the Red Dress. I found it interesting, though, that there's nothing in the latest news about Harvest Time. Wow. I have
the
to,
play here.
You're telling me that this website isn't updated on a regular basis?
Well, look, I'm going to just say this. I would like to issue...
Wait, is that Stropple himself? Sorry, Tommy. Go ahead.
Is that Stropple?
That's Stropple. Yeah, he has a little moment in this behind-the-scenes
video. This guy
video.
Could beat me up, so I'm going to start backing off on this.
He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt that's in khaki tones. So it's like everything that's like not fun about a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, let's remove the color from a Hawaiian shirt.
It's like in Weird Al where... Yeah, sorry.
I love the patterns. It's like when Weird Al is grieving. They'll wear... He'll wear a very subdued Hawaiian shirt like this right. one that he's that Fred Stropple's wearing.
Oh, it looks I think
like
my cat's medication is downstairs.
Okay.
Here we go. Hold on.
This is the most exciting thing I've ever been a part of. I'm not kidding. The idea that Jimmy Jazz is about to get some bubblegum flavor.
It's not bubblegum. It's fish. I got him the fish flavor. I'm not a monster.
And he's like, I like bubblegum.
He is not
yum,
like
yum,
that.
Yum, yum, yum,
yum. Yum, yum, bubblegum. Yum, yum, bubblegum.
This was medicine. Blah.
I wake up to a letter written in blood, my own blood. Yum, yum, bubblegum. Yum, yum, bubblegum. Signed.
What is
Jimmy Jazz? And the J's are backwards, but otherwise it's perfect syntax.
What is the Jimmy Jazz voice?
Mama.
Oh, no.
Mother. Mother, it's time for breakfast. Mother, I couldn't help but notice I haven't been served breakfast yet. You know he hits me now, right?
Jimmy Jazz hits you.
In the morning, he, yeah, he screams at me to get up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, he,
how does that sound?
Ah, just, it's awful. It's just, meow, meow, like very, very insistent. And then the last, like, couple months, he started, like, bopping me on the back of my head. And sometimes I turn over and he's just, like, lifting a paw.
Okay.
Like, you know when someone's like, he never raised a hand to me?
Why, I oughta. Like he's like kind, he's like one of the Three Stooges.
And, right, and I look, and sometimes he's just showing me the paw. Like he's like, he holds it up like he's going to bop me, because he has.
He bops you every once in a while.
In the morning when he wants to be fed.
Hear it.
Hold on, I can't wait. Should I just say to leave it outside?
No, bring him in.
No, I'm not bringing him in.
Imagine bring this person in. No, they're exempt.
You should just leave it outside. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to say I did tip that guy. So, like, don't be like okay. Julie's a dick. Anyway.
So, Frederick or Fred? What are we doing here?
I think Fred in person and Frederick on the page, right?
Yeah. This guy looks intense.
Awesome. Could you just go to his bio real quick? Please, I just want to see, like, just quickly, like, in his world. Oh, there's a cartoon of him at a typewriter. Or not him. There's just a clip art of, like, a guy, like, attacking a typewriter.
I think that's Stropple. I think somebody did a little tribute to Stropple.
Frederick Stropple is a screenwriter and playwright who has had his work produced throughout the world. Now that is a good opening sentence.
Yeah. Got to be bold with these, with your bio. What are you going to start? You're going to start half-stepping it? When you're supposed to be selling yourself?
Other plays include Actor with an exclamation point, The Christmas Spirit, The Hunter's Moon, and Small World, which had its world premiere in January 2013 in Newtown, Connecticut, and in 2015 was produced at the acclaimed Penguin Repertory Theater. Is that just the zoo?
I think technically you can call the zoo the Penguin Repertory Theater. Like, just like you can go any part of the zoo and just declare it whatever you want. Like, I am now in the
pigeon,
the pigeon proscenium, and we're going to do a little show right now. It's called Guy Throwing Food.
It's called It's Raining Bread.
And these It's Raining Bread, and these are my co-stars. Today's production, it will be me and
this wooden bench.
Me and this wooden bench and... and the guy who played Theo on Cosby Show will be here together doing this production of It's Raining Bread. But I will say this guy looks strapping, Frederick Stropple.
More like Fred Strapping.
I'm a little scared of him.
I'm not.
So I would like to issue an apology.
Oh, I thought you're... I'd like to issue a
Stropology. I want to issue a Stropology.
Oh my god!
chocolate orange pickle.
Oh, that was
is a collection of short one acts.
That's when Stropple was macro dosing.
Macro. Wait, micro dosing?
What? His
Wait,
wife
that's
is
a,
like
that's an wife. Eye.
His wife is like, Freddie, yes?
And he's just like, yeah, I thought it said macro dosing, so I was doing 10 times.
Right, he's got like a ticker tape parade of LSD tabs in his apartment. He just has his mouth open and he's just like, I'm.
Yeah, no, it's micro dosing, Frederick. Oh, well, that explains a lot.
Does that explain your Kindle single chocolate orange pickle?
That was my nickname in high school.
Should we buy? There are acting editions for the following plays and play collections. Kidney
Fine.
Stones.
I'll do. Man, these are some pretty. What's a production we could do of his?
I think Kidney Stones looks fun. I think Single and Proud looks fun. I think Actor with an exclamation point. I'm just more curious about than anything else.
Okay.
And then in Senior Moments, you have I think five, which is Sneeze, A World of Pleasure, After the Ball, Louis's Daughter. Which one of Louis's daughters? Because he has two on that show.
He hates both of them too. Man, he hated his kids so much.
He hated them so much that he couldn't even bring himself to jerk off in front of them.
I really can't stand my kids. stupid. I mean, I look at them and I'm just like, get out of here.
You are such an amazing impressionist.
Hey, Julie. Hey. Are you quarantined?
Well, how did you get in here?
Hey, I got your cat medicine. Hey, Julie, it's me, Louie. I got your cat medicine for you.
Is it? It can't possibly be in your... Oh, no!
It's bubblegum. Hey, is that Jimmy Jazz?
Get out of the house. And then all of a sudden, like...
Here, kitty.
The guy who owns the Comedy Cellar is behind him, and he's like...
Yeah.
No, he's allowed to be here.
So what, Brett, do you have anything from a listener on for us to check out?
Yes. So listeners have been sending in tons of great clips. And
please keep doing it, even though Brett seems annoyed for whatever reason right now with that tone.
Yeah. I know the emails back from Brett can be a little terse, but email's not the greatest form of expressing and communication. And
yeah, but he has burner accounts. Like, he has all these different Gmails, like, Julie's face is too wide at gmail.com, and then it'll be like, here's your thing.
And that one was taken already.
Well.
It was taken already.
What, does Julie have the mumps or something at hotmail.com? At a,
something.
But we do want you to keep sending in things for us to discuss on the show, and you should do that too. DoubleThreatPod@gmail.com or at DoubleThreatPod on any of the socials.
Yeah, and don't send them to us. Send them to Brett, because we want to be surprised.
And we want Brett to be exasperated when he goes, oh, I hate my job.
Yeah. So what do you got for us, Brett?
So this is a video clip. It's an interview, and it was submitted by a listener named Jesse. And this is his description of it. A white rapper named James Potok, a.k.a. Potok Philippe, was arrested for mischief after he lied to a plane full of people bound for Jamaica that he had coronavirus, forcing it to return to Toronto. He was assessed by medical staff and deemed symptom-free before being booed by the other passengers as they escorted him off.
And by the way, if Canadians are booing you, you're doing something really bad.
Really bad. You have gone so far over the line to where they're finally like, I'm going to
boo. Eh?
Oh, you know, I'm going to boo this guy.
You know what? Enough is enough, eh?
I can't. You know, this guy is claiming he's got this coronavirus. And this is...
And I'm like, you know...
Trying to get to Jamaica.
I want to go to Jamaica to, you know, let my hair down and...
I don't want to go back to Toronto.
I guess I'm mostly relieved that he's okay, but, you know...
I mean, good on him for not actually having
it. I would never, you know...
Wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
But then I found out he didn't, and I said, oh, gee, I'm going to consider booing him.
I told you that thing when I went to that Nick Cave concert in Toronto, and It was at the place where the hockey team plays and the basketball team plays, and so it was in this big. They had the floor open. It was like general admission on the floor, and there was a guy there with like his 9 year old or whatever, and he had like those oversized ear protecting headphones on the kid, and this is like Nick Cave, so it's gonna set this trying to set this mood of everything Nick Cave brings, and this guy's there, and he goes, "Oh yeah, I decided." He's talking to somebody else, like, "I figured I'd bring the wee one to check out a show. Want him to see Nick Cave for the first time, so I figured I'd take the wee one." He said, "Wee one." He kept calling his kid the wee one, and it could not have been more of a mood breaker for the Nick Cave is supposed to be this like the Lord of Darkness. And now there's this guy going like, "Oh, you know, I figured me and the wee one would come check out a rock concert. And wanted to figured he should see Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds would be a pretty good first show for the wee one to check out." And I was just like,
"It's amazing." Oh,
the wee one. So where is this clip?
So this is an interview.
This is Potok Philippe, which is a play on the very expensive watch, which I believe is a Patek Philippe. Is that, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it, but
that's right. That's his rapper alias. Okay. Is Potok
right,
but
right, it's Potok now. Potok. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And this is a interview that he gave for with Global News about what exactly happened on the plane and why he did it.
By the way, my favorite news stores. My favorite news sources.
Global News.
Yeah.
Else so you're local, James.
Yes,
right?
I'm James Potok.
From the flight.
From the flight. Okay. I go by Potok Philippe. I'm an artist.
You're an artist.
Yes.
Okay. So can I just ask?
And look, can you pause for one second before we get into this? I guess the polite thing to say here is that hip hop is now it's a big tent for hip hop. It's a big tent. Everyone is allowed in, including a guy who looks like, what are we talking about here?
He looks like a twitchy dweeb, and he is already annoyed. Like, he's already on the offense. He's already pissed off. He's like, "Yeah, I told you my name.
Yeah, it's Potok Philippe. I'm an artist."
Yeah,
and he's wearing kind of like a pale pink hoodie.
This guy.
He's got a giant pompadour that would rival Conan O'Brien. Peak high hair. And
also, the way he says, "I'm an artist," because you know people are like, he's like, "Wait, what? Who are you?"
Yeah. Well, all the greatest artists have to tell you they're artists. That's always
on the news
that.
In a really defensive way after they've probably just been arrested.
Yeah. So, okay. So he's already confrontational with this guy.
Your interpretation of what happened.
I fly to Jamaica 5 times a year. One time, a couple trips ago, I did a similar thing. I pulled my phone out. I made a viral video. I got up. I said, "Can I have your attention? Can I have your attention?" Everyone stopped and looked. And I said, "Lil Wayne's new album just dropped. Everybody go get it." No problem with that. Sat back down, landed. Everybody got off. No issues. Seemed to me like this was in poor taste in retrospect. What I did, I stood up. I said, "Can I have everybody's attention? I just came back from Hunan province." That was it.
Why would you say that?
Well, I had my camera with me. I was looking to get a viral video. I was looking to get it up on all the social media platforms.
This is the dumbest. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
How is this real? This is great.
You have to realize I did this once before.
First of all, I go to Jamaica like 8 times a year.
I go to Jamaica 8 times a year. So,
one of the hits. One of the things that went off really well.
I held my phone up and I said, "Everyone, can I please have your attention? I just want to let you know Lil Wayne's album just dropped."
And everyone was fine with that and they liked it, and I wasn't on the news at all.
And then the next time I did it, I inferred that I had the disease that's killing Earth. And
and in retrospect, it was in bad taste, but I can't remind you enough how it worked before. And I am an artist, and I do go to Jamaica very frequently.
You know, I thought that was in poor taste, what he did.
I might even consider booing him, eh?
Should we boo him?
I don't know. I mean, I've never done it before, but I've seen it on the TV.
We're now doing what Monty Python yeah. did to America.
For Canadians, I know.
We're doing to Canadians.
Well, so he's.
I like that he's now conceding it's in poor taste.
Yeah, he's realizing in real time that he's going to have to do a little bit of, you know, little PR on old Potok.
And his glasses are very big. His glasses, the character in The Incredibles that designed the weapons.
Two hubcaps on his face connected with a pipe.
Yeah. These glasses, you could start pedaling away on these glasses. You put a little chain between those two frames and a handlebar. Yeah. There's a little bicycle Jimmy Jazz could ride around on this guy's glasses, a little cat bike.
What if his medicine spilled out in the hallway and it's gradually smelling more and more of like cat medicine that's also got fish?
Yeah, you go out in the hallway, there's like eight cats out there just eating. They're out there blowing bubbles.
But my neighbor just installed, I just saw him this morning with a Peloton. At first I saw it in the hallway and I thought, oh great, my neighbor's moving out. And then it was gone. And I was like, God damn it, he just got a Peloton. And then I went into my bedroom and I found out that he set his Peloton up so he's looking directly into my bedroom. So he's going to be like blasting, you know, whatever he's listening to in the morning and like staring directly at me while I'm getting up. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Hey, is there a problem with the... I set a Peloton up in your place too, Julie.
Hi, Louie.
Hey. My kids. Did I tell you about my kids?
Yeah, you hate them.
No, I can't stand them. My kids. Oh. I'm like jerking off.
I know.
All right, back to...
Some type of reaction. Not on the plane. More people seeing on social media going, wow, this kid's... got some balls, or this kid is crazy, whatever it is.
So you were looking for some sort of promotion or viral video?
I was looking to create a video, yes, that would go viral. Mm. Yeah.
For what purpose, though, to go viral?
I'm an artist. Mm. Any publicity for myself is good publicity.
And what do you think now about what happened?
What I did was wrong. I ruined their flights for 200 and some odd people. I ruined their flight.
And
he just stopped for a second.
Is there any repercussions
that you know of?
If you could pause it for a second. Midway through this interview, he just started looking over at a 45 degree angle at something while he's talking.
Yeah, he looks a little concerned and he's not breaking the gaze. So is a Canadian like charging him? He's like, well, I'll just pretend I'm a moose.
He was wrong.
I guess I'll just pretend about the time I saw that moose charge a car, and I guess I can pretend I'm a moose. Because I feel like charging him.
It was a moose. A moose. Remember when Woody Allen did that thing about the moose on the roof? The car. You hit the moose from his stand-up.
I don't remember.
Oh, you got to go deep back into Woody Allen's stand-up. Oh, you got to go all the way back.
I'm reading his book.
This is a good quarantine project for you.
Okay, just do the deep dive?
Everything.
All right.
Don't drink the water.
I've seen Don't Drink the Water. I've seen... that I haven't seen.
You have to watch Scenes from a Mall.
He didn't write it. He's just in it.
No, but that's the best part is him acting. Imagine him at that point being like, what is this shopping mall? Oh, Scenes from a what? And it's just like,
why are these pretzels big?
All these stores are next to each other. It's all inside. It's
this
very
music
weird.
This music is played by extraterrestrials and garbage dumps.
I found a place. It's called a mall. When I was shooting this movie, Scenes from a Mall. And it's all these stores are just connected. And they don't have doors.
It's a nightmare.
But then they have pretzels.
They have a pretzels.
But then
I will
they
say, some of the women who walk around are beautiful. They're in groups. Those are teenagers. Oh, they're such fascinating women.
And then I went and they had Panda Express. I really enjoyed. You could get two items or three items plus either
A soft drink.
A soft drink, or you could get
a cookie.
Fried rice or noodles. And then you get that, you slide the tray, they give you a tray and you slide it down on this little track and they hand you the food and then you pick a table out. And then they have other places. It's kind of like a food court. And
it's actually called a food court now that I think of it.
Sun Yi wanted Wendy's. And she was able, she could go get it. She got a double with cheese and a frosty.
I got a baked potato.
She got me a baked potato from Wendy's. And I had Panda Express and a baked potato.
I'm so fat.
And then they had they also had a stand that was Froyo. So, and you go up and they had a lever. You pull the lever down yourself.
It's the best place I've ever been.
I had the Froyo.
And then you reveal that he's like telling you this story, like after he was, he's like being interrogated by two cops. And they're like, just tell us about it. Just get to the part where you followed those girls to their car.
And then I had the baked potato. You could
It
had cheese on it.
Please, just at what point did you see the alleged victim?
And then I also went, and they had a place with chicken. All right.
You know what? My partner's coming back, and he is not. You are not going to like him.
And I tried to find a new ribbon for my typewriter at one of the stores.
Where is this Jewish motherfucker? And then this like neo-Nazi cop bursts in and just grabs Woody by the back of the hair like in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and just starts bashing his head on the interrogation table.
Oh, I don't know why you're beating me.
Boom!
So Patak Philippe, the rapper,
is looking off to the left.
He's looking
the left,
off to
the left.
Yes.
They just showed up and knocked.
Is that your dad?
Yes.
How are you doing? Can I ask you what about repercussions or what?
Can you rewind that, please, Brett? I want to see that. I want to see the buildup. And also, I do want to mention for those who aren't watching at home that at one point, the reporter looks directly into the camera as though he's saying to people at home, are you seeing this?
Yeah, he like sticks his little face into the frame, and apparently Patak Philippe's dad has shown up mid interview to
senior Patak senior,
and some odd people
Papa Patak
ruin their flight.
And is there any repercussions from this that you know of?
They just showed up and knocked.
Is that your dad?
Yes.
Can I ask you, what about repercussions or what do you think?
They've charged me criminally. And I have court to go to.
I have court to go
can you
to.
Pause it, please?
All types of positions, people.
When he's like, is that your dad? He's like, yeah.
That's my dad.
My name's Patak Philippe Sr. and I'm here to say...
My son is a jerk in a major way. My son screwed up in a major way. I'd like to pay his bail right now.
But I think he's going to jail right now. Starts doing beatboxing.
And then he's like, no, I can't breathe. I too have coronavirus. Oh boy. The apple doesn't fart. By the way, when he looks off to his dad, when he looks off to the side, he looks like he's afraid. And then he says to the dad, they just knocked. So do you think the dad is like, who let this journalist in here?
This guy is...
rules.
Yeah, he really does rule.
He kind of looks like Neve from Catfish. Could this be new Neve?
Yeah, he's got a squirrely quality to him. This guy... like
he's one of Stropple's plays.
He's as guilty as can be, And he's still, and he admits it, but he's got a toot, exactly. He's still, for some reason, acting indignant about this experience that he is the sole architect of.
I can't believe, I mean, I'm now being charged criminally, and it's a thing.
Like, he's acting like this is all a giant inconvenience for Patak Philippe.
Don't you know who I am?
Let's get to the end of this because I do want to see him rap at some point. We should look up another one of his.
Yes.
I want to see him do his thing.
And I have court to go to. There's all types of positions, people that are happy, people that are upset.
There's all types of positions.
The people on the planes.
Tom, this is just like that NYU Tish lady who's like, some people liked it.
Yeah. It's open to interpretation. He's an artist. An artist makes art. Some people are happy about the art, and other people who, for example, might now be stuck on a grounded flight that was supposed to go somewhere and now isn't because they might not be as into it. There's nothing better than watching somebody whose image, like the picture of him on his SoundCloud here, you think just like, oh, that's a real badass. And then we just watched video of him being completely humiliated. And
yeah, that's my dad.
Yeah, that's my dad.
He's from Toronto. His dad's like, I'm real disappointed in you, son.
Son, why would you do this? I mean, the Lil Wayne video was bad enough. I mean, you went on and...
I mean, your mom is just inconsolable.
She's just beside herself.
This is a song called Swerve.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Oh, babe. Shorty, watch me swerve. Swerve. Backstage sipping on that perp. Yeah, I run it like a track race. I'm coming first. Smoking up them backwoods. I'm leaving Earth. Girl, I like the way your ass shake all on the floor. Somebody pass me the ashtray while they slowly burn. Live life in the
fast lane. That's something I learned.
Did he brag about coming first?
Yeah, he's very proud of that. That's one of the things he's very proud
he's
of.
He's like, hey, I'm a cool guy. When I have sex with a lady, I...
Trust me, we'll be out of here in 2 minutes. Not going to drag this on.
Don't worry. I come first, you come last, if at all.
Yeah.
Who are you? I like that the name of this is called Swerve because that's what the plane had to do.
Yes, the plane had to do a 180 degree swerve
to get back to
landing. Imagine that pilot talking over the things, just saying like,
"Yeah, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we have a."
We
idiot.
Have a complete moron on the flight, and he is legally, we have to return now because I'm pretty sure he doesn't have the coronavirus, but I am pretty sure he is stupid, and none of us are going to Jamaica. All of us are going back to Toronto.
And it's like, and by the way, if we land and that guy's been beaten to death, we never had this conversation.
Yeah. We will be
there
holding.
Is no, just so you know, the black box, it's really more of a gray box. We can edit as we see fit.
I want to offer, you can come up to the cockpit and I will hand you the black box and you can beat him over the head with it.
So Brett is now highlighting his bio because he wants us to discuss Potok's luxurious Dalmatian named Gigi. And by the way, I'm calling the ASPCA. Like we're repoing that baby. Don't call a dog luxurious. You weirdo.
Potok Philippe's name has been popping up lately in Toronto's emerging music industry.
Well, and- yeah, that's sure. And among other Okay.
With Potok's unique personality and the way he carries himself in the public eye, as well as on social media. Well, we know his social media presence is outstanding.
Everyone, I want to just tell you the new Lil Wayne album has dropped.
He's been gaining a lot of attention lately. Yes, he has.
Mm-hmm.
Potok has a certain aura to him that works effectively with his music.
Now, that sentence is a bad sentence. That doesn't... This is why we hire people to write bios.
Yes. Potok has a certain aura to him that works effectively with his music.
What does that mean?
I mean, first of all, we just saw his aura without his music, and it's anything to write home about. It's he's twitchy and nervous. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that's my dad.
That should be a song of his called "Yeah, That's My Dad."
Mean all my yo, that's my dad.
Yeah, him just rapping about being at Pearson Airport with his dad trying to get through security to go claim his son.
So they could go to a pizza.
Yeah, who just grounded their flight.
Yeah.
He keeps up with the latest trends, loves to flaunt his luxurious Dalmatian named Gigi, cars, nights out.
Just cars.
Night outs.
Yes.
And dinners. As well as splurge on designer clothes. That's
a great sentence.
So these are great sentences.
This is a list of things he likes to flaunt. His luxurious Dalmatian named Gigi, cars, night outs, and dinners, as well as splurge on designer clothes.
Yeah, I had dinner.
And cars.
I got in my car, that's right, and I drove to a restaurant.
What was Gigi doing this whole time?
I can't find Gigi, to be honest. I took Gigi to get her luxurious coat groomed. And they wouldn't give her back
to me.
And look, I'm getting ready for a pretty sweet night out. And so... I'm kind of fancy. I have a meal after lunch. That's how I roll.
I like to flaunt my dinners. I like to flaunt my... That's another song he could write.
I like to flaunt my dinners. I like to flaunt my dinners. And my car and my night outs.
That should be his next song. I like to flaunt my dinners.
I like to flaunt my dinners.
And you just like a week from now, we scroll through his SoundCloud, you just see a song called Flaunt, and we're just like, oh no, he didn't. You click on it,
it's like, to flaunt my dinner.
And the beat is just like boom, boom, boom. It's just like a marching band bass drum. It's like he's given up any trace of like hip hop.
I was gonna pitch that he samples "They're Coming to Take Me Away," ha ha.
So he just samples that song. Boom, boom, boom.
I like
boom,
to flaunt boom, my dinners.
Boom, boom.
Well, this guy, this Potok Philippe, he's always...
I gotta tell you, you know.
I don't know how I feel about this. He's always flaunting his dinners and his night outs.
I mean, we all gotta eat, you know. I don't begrudge him that, but...
I mean, I will say his dog is luxurious. That's a pretty luxurious Dalmatian, if I say so myself.
Potok's real name is James Potok, and he is an upcoming artist based out of Thornhill, Ontario. His artist name came from the famous luxurious watch brand Patek Philippe.
I've seen an adjective that's appealing to Mr.
He likes
P.
luxury. Uh-huh. He decided that it suited well by replacing the word Patek. What is this guy doing the code on this? This is not a mystery. It's
Google Translate.
With his last name, Potok. The hidden significance for his choice of branding and stage name is that
hidden.
He believes it's anything but hidden. Even if it was hidden, he just told us everything about how it's not hidden. The hidden significance for his choice of branding and stage name is that he believes that everything he does, He will strive to be the best for it.
For
just
it.
Just like the wristwatch company's vision. This is the clunkiest.
I like to flaunt my dinners. Have you read my bio?
Son?
Yes?
We need to get you in the studio and get this song.
God, I know, Dad. I know. They just knocked on the door.
Did you post the video that Lil Wayne's album has dropped?
Yeah, I told you I did.
And did you do the COVID-19 thing I came up with?
Yeah, but like, as I look back, I don't think it was in good taste.
Dad, they were mad at me. I'm in trouble, Dad.
That's on them, son.
This is great. And look, I will say, Canada's a great place. You deserve better than a Potok Philippe.
Yeah.
Clogging. It's like a clog up there, clogging your drain up of your otherwise great country.
Yeah. Break his nose. If you see this guy, break his nose. That's all I ask.
You know what I'm so interested right now? See if Brett has anything weird, because we can see his whole screen up. I'm scanning real quick to see if there's anything weird.
I've been looking this whole time. There ain't nothing.
No. Any weird folder.
Hashtag virus boy. Well,
so
he's in the Hall of Shame or the Hall of Heroes.
Hall of Heroes. Mm-hmm. Potok Philippe, James Potok, a.k.a.
Potok Philippe.
We welcome you to the Double Threat Hall of Heroes. Take your seat next to the Dean of... Tish.
Dancing.
Yes.
And should we invite them to ever be guests on the show or no?
Oh, it's an open invitation for anyone
who's
been in anyone we've talked about on the show.
Yes.
The door is always open. Yeah,
we will have you on the show.
Yeah. Anybody wants to come on and explain themselves?
I will backpedal. Tom will not. I'll be like, I think you're really great. I mean, I didn't mean it. I mean, I really meant that I appreciate what you're doing. Hello.
But I will not. I'm going to play some gotcha journalism with you. Gotcha. We gotcha.
I gotcha.
Well, that was a sweet clip somebody sent in. Thank you. Who was it again, Brett?
Jesse.
That
was going to be my name if I was a boy.
Your name was going to be Jesse.
Yeah.
That'd be a good
name. Did your folks ever tell you what your name would have been if you were a girl? Or is that just a weird thing that my parents told me every day? You know, if you were a boy, sometimes you'd be like, Jesse, get out of bed. Sorry.
I never heard any.
Good morning, Sarah.
I'm going to ask my mother if there was a. That's a great question.
Her and be like, text her, like, call me. Like, make it seem like it's really urgent.
Yeah, this is important. I say to my mother, I have an announcement to make. I just came back from the Wuhan province. Mom?
The Hunan province. Meanwhile, Shane Gillis is somewhere like, really? Of all the seasons of SNL, I didn't get on?
Yeah, he didn't get on the quarantine season of SNL.
Shane Gillis somewhere is like, I could have gone to town.
You think the stuff I would have written? I got a point of view like you'd never... Has never been on that show before.
And even though it has been, Dennis Miller was just reading the cue cards.
Yeah. But he, you missed out.
And Joe Piscopo was, he was too busy like screwing his babysitter at the time. He was like taking steroids and somehow like, even though like those affect your erectile abilities, he managed to circumvent those and just be like, oh, I'm going to have sex with my babysitter. And then Victoria Jackson is just like, I'm a cuckoo bird.
Yeah.
Bing bong. Bing bong. Bing bong. Bing bong. Bing bong. It's like you look inside of her head and it's just like malfunctioning Christmas chimes.
I picture her in her own head pressing a doorbell for her own front door.
Yeah.
And it's like, ding dong, like Victoria Jackson pressing it. And then she opens the front door and it's her talking to herself.
Uh-huh.
How can I help you? Hi, I'm Victoria Jackson.
I'm Victoria Jackson.
So am I. Yeah.
And then they both get confused and then they both reach for the doorbell and their fingers touch.
How is it that entertainment, there's like 11 conservative entertainers and
each one better than the next. James Woods.
They couldn't put up with Victoria Jackson.
Vicky Jojo.
The conservative MIA. Thing. Yeah. They're just like, yeah,
we're
going to
take our chances
out
with John Voight and James Woods.
Yeah. So, Jesse, thank you for the clip. And everybody out there, if you got something funny or weird or that'll frustrate us or make us larf, yeah, send it in to doublethreatpod@gmail.com. Is that right, Brett?
Yes, that's right.
And make sure to CC Shane Gillis. Hashtag virus boy, hashtag he was robbed.
Shane Gillis at foreverdog.com.
So thank you guys so much for listening to the show.
Yes, we appreciate it. And keep listening and go on the Apple thing
whatever.
And say that you like
it. We are good.
Subscribe.
Leave us comments. Leave us ratings. Subscribe. What else? Leave us nice reviews.
Tell your friends that this show exists and it's the funniest thing you ever heard in your life.
And subscribe and just keep listening. And we're going to, you know, just keep doing stuff and getting better and surprising you and doing all kinds of kooky silliness and having a good time. And we'll be back next week and send us stuff you want to hear us talk about.
Yeah. And we want to say thank you to Mike Kroll for the theme music. We appreciate it. We love you, Mike, and you're the best. And thank you to artist extraordinaire, the legendary Michael Kupperman, for his amazing art, logo art for the show.
We only work with people named Mike or Michael.
That's right. And if your name is Mike or Michael, drop us a line and tell us what you do, and we will hire you as well for something.
So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with more Double Threat. Say good night, Gracie.
Say good night, Gracie.
Good night.
Is that what she said? Good night.
I think he said, say good night, Gracie, and then he shot her in the face.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.